Psachim Yud Dalid. We find ourselves on the Mishnah on the top of Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, and we begin a week of discussing Tumah Tahara. It's really one Mishnah. It's the last Mishnah here in the first Perek of Psachim, but the Gemara is going to take advantage of this opportunity and speak about Tumah Tahara in detail. And so what we have to look forward to this week is a full week of Gemara discussing Tumah Tahara. Obviously, the Bavli has no commentary on Seder Taharos, and so therefore we have no formal discussion in Talmud Bavli about Tumah Tahara. And so these next seven Dapim of Gemara really serve as the outline in terms of the basic drushas of Tumah Tahara that we encounter throughout Shas. Obviously, the Mishnayos and Taharos are the main source of these halachos, but it comes up throughout the Bavli all the time, and b'derech agav, in somewhat of a roundabout fashion. But nevertheless, the Gemara is going to tackle this straight on. What are we doing here? Meaning, this is the Gemara Psachim. We're learning about b'dikas chametz, beer chametz, and how do we get onto a topic of Tumah Tahara? So there's going to be a comment at the end of this Mishnah. We'll see in just a moment where you have Truma Tameya, Truma Tahara. They're both made up of chametz, and the question is, can I burn the two of them together? We know that Truma Tahara you're not allowed to burn. There's a mitzvah of being shomer the Truma Tahara. We'll quote the Psukim a little bit. But anyway, the Truma Tahara has to be burned. It's chametz, and it's and Pesach is approaching. So as long as we're burning it, could I burn it together with Truma Tameya? The Truma Tameya is going to be coming into contact with the Truma Tahara, making the Truma Tahara Tameh. And under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to do that. But being that it's Erev Pesach and we're burning everything anyway, so can we do that? So the Gemara is going to extrapolate that from a comment regarding Tumah Tahara. And so the Mishnah is talking about Tumah Tahara. Okay, that's how we got onto the topic. That's how it comes up with you here in the context of B'dikas Chametz, the first parak of Psachim. Let us begin the Mishnah. It would be wonderful now if I gave somewhat of an extensive introduction to the world of Tumah Tahara. But what the path we're going to go, strategy we're going to do is that we're going to go through the Mishnah. We're going to go through the Gemara over the course of the sugya. So obviously we'll go over some of the basic outline, the basic halachas of Tumah Tahara. And so we will extract all the basic halachas as we go through the sugya itself. And let's do it in that fashion. The Mishnah starts off, Rabbi Chanina Zkan HaKohanim Omer. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Chanina Zkan HaKohanim, this sugya, by the way, is classically described as Rabbi Chanina Zkan HaKohanim, based on the first line of the Mishnah. So he would say as follows, Miyamim Shel Kohanim, during the days of the Kohanim, Lo Nimnu Melisrof, Es HaBasar Shenitma B'Vlada Tumah, Im HaBasar Shenitma B'Ava Tumah, Af Alpi Shemosifim Tumah Al Tumaso. So he describes where the Kohanim would not stop themselves, they would not hold back from burning basar, meat, in other words, kachim meat that becomes tummy with a vlada tama, together with kachim meat that got tummy with an ava tama, even though in doing so, one is going to be adding tama onto tama. Meat that comes into contact with a vlada tama, the vlada tama presumably is a rishon. Vlada tama just simply means it's a derivative. It's not the source of tama. So if you have meat that comes into contact with a vlada tuma, so presumably the vlada is a rishon. Every time you have a transmission of tuma from one item to another, it drops down a level. So that means that that second meat now is a sheni l'tuma. And the Mishnah is telling us is that there would be no hesitation. They would not refrain from burning that together with meat that comes into contact with an avatama. The avatama obviously being a source of tuma. Meat coming into contact with the avatama now is a rishon. And so what I'm doing is I'm burning two rishon together with sheni, and the Kohanim would have no problem with that whatsoever. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Rashi over here in the Mishnah sets it up, and that is, what's the problem to begin with? In other words, if I'm taking rishon and sheni, bringing them together, so what's happening? So the rishon is going to be touching the sheni. You know what's going to happen when the rishon touches the sheni? Nothing. The sheni remains the sheni. So the Gemara is going to ask that question, and so let's hold off, and we'll get to the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to pose that very basic issue. Host of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva adds a point, which means to say that Rabbi Akiva now is adding something to what we already saw in the name of the Tanakam, or better stated, Rabbi Chanina Zkan HaKohanim. And he adds, Va'amar miyamehem shel kohanim lo nimnu melahadlik es hashemen shenifsal bitvul yom b'ner shenitma b'tamimeis af apishem osifim tuma al tumaso. A similar circumstance, a similar idea, we're taking oil that came into contact with a tvul yom. A tvul yom is somebody who was tamei and is going through the tahara process. The tahara process is made up of two components. One, toveling in the mikvah. Two is waiting till the sun sets Erev Shemesh. In between those periods of time, the individual is described as a tvul yom. He has some residual tumah. Under those circumstances, that which he comes into contact with is going to be tame, but on a reduced level. The general position, consensus position, is that a tful yom is a sheni l'tama, and so therefore when a tful yom comes into contact with, let's say for example, truma, the truma now becomes a shlishi. A point that we're going to be reiterating a number of times is that truma can get to the point of being a shlishi. Here comes one of those basic rules, which is that chulin can only become a sheni, can only get to the point of a sheni, truma can get to the point of a shlishi, and karban and kodesh can get to the point of revi. The basic idea is that as you get higher in kedusha, it becomes more sensitive, more susceptible to tuma. So anyway, so the truma now becomes a shlishi, and here comes another basic rule that we're going to be reiterating a number of times, is that when the truma becomes a shlishi, it now becomes pasul. Pasul is another term to describe tamei. The difference between tamei versus pasul is that pasul is the end of the road, meaning that because truma does not go beyond a shlishi, so that means to say that if the truma were to touch something else, so the truma is not going to be communicated or transmitted, because we are simply at the end of the road. Anyway, so I have now the truma that was made that came into contact with the tful yom, which means that the truma is a shlishi, and it was put in a lantern in order to be burnt, and the lantern itself was tamei. How is a lantern tamei? Because what you had is you had a tamei mace coming into contact with the lantern. Now the tamei mace is somebody who came into contact with the actual mace itself. The mace itself categorically is what's called an avi avosatoma. Not only is the human remains going to be considered an avatoma, but it's actually one level above it. Avi avosatoma, right? No good English translation, granddaddy of tuma. In other words, it's on the highest level. Then when a person touches the mace, that person now becomes an avatoma. That person now becoming an avatoma is the source of tuma. So when he comes into contact with a lantern, so the lantern now is going to be a rishon latuma. So what we have over here is the oil being a shlishi, being inserted into a lantern that is a rishon, and now the oil is going to go move up a level from being a shlishi to a sheni. And Rabbi Akiva says, and that's okay. I'm Rabbi Meir, midivrei lamanus. Rabbi Meir says, from this entire discussion, so what one could say is, shesorfin truma tahora im hatameya bePesach, that when I have truma tahora and I have truma tameya, they can be burnt together. On Erev Pesach, meaning while we're doing the mitzvah of Bi'ur Chametz and while we're destroying our truma, and we have two types of truma tahor and truma tamei, they can be burnt together. Again, going back to a point that we made just moments earlier, truma tahor cannot be burnt. In other words, you must be shomer. The only way it could be consumed is only eaten by Kohanim, and you cannot burn it. But nevertheless, obviously on Erev Pesach, where it needs to be burnt, so it can be burnt. And the chiddush is over here is that it can be burnt together with truma tamei, even though as it's getting burnt together, so the truma tahor is going to become tamei. Okay, all that is going to be discussed in much greater detail when we get to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yossi, eino hi hamida. So Rav Yossi says that you can't make the comparison, even though in the first two cases of the Mishnah, the case of Rabbi Chanina is going to come on, and the case of Rabbi Akiva, so we have over here items that are both tamei, and because anyway they're going to get burnt, so there does not have to be any kind of discrimination, and the two can be put together because anyway we're going to be destroying, we're going to be burning it, so therefore I can burn the basar that came into contact with the vlada tuma together with basar that came into contact with an avatuma, no problem whatsoever. And according to Rabbi Akiva, I could take the truma, which is pasul, which is a shlishi, and put it into a lantern, which is a rishon. It's going to get burnt anyway, no problem at all. And anyway, in that case over there, it's all tame. But according to Rav Yossi, that doesn't translate over here. Just because we're going to burn the truma tahora and we're going to burn the truma tamea does not allow us to burn it together. They must be burnt separately. Umodim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua. This is Rabbi Yossi continuing. Umodim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua. Both agree shesorf and zul atzma v'zul atzma. They both can be burned independent of one another. Meaning truma tahora and truma tamea can be burned but separately. Amanechliku. The only room for the where there is actually debate is ala tuli of ala tamea. Let's say I have two trumas, one being definitively tamei and the other one only possibly being tamei. That's what's described in the Mishnah here as tuluya. They can be burned together, is subject to a machlokus. She Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tisa Rev Zula Atzma V'Zula Atzma. Rabbi Eliezer says they must be burnt separately, cannot be burnt together. And Rabbi Yoshua Omer Shem Ka'achas and Rabbi Yoshua says that they can be burnt together. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, that is now going to be our entree into the entire discussion of Tumah Tahara. And so let us begin, let us get underway. Michti. So we're going to start off now with the first line of the Mishnah and looking to clarify that first line of the Mishnah, the first case in the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, where he said that one is allowed to burn meat together with meat. They're both Tameh. One is on a level of a Rishon, the other one's on a level of Sheni. They can be burned together. And here now the Gemara is going to ask the question. We already foreshadowed the question when we read the Mishnah, but the Gemara is now going to spell it out. Michti Basar Shenitma Bevlad HaTumah Mai Havi. So when I have basar that comes into contact with a vlad tuma, what is that basar? So havi sheni. So the basar is now going to be a sheni. Ki sarif le bahadi basar shenitma ba'avatuma my havi sheni. Now when I burn it together with basar that comes into contact with an avatuma, so what is that meat now going to be? It's still going to be a sheni, meaning nothing happened. The sheni touches a rishon, which makes the sheni. It just keeps the sheni as being a sheni. So sheni v'sheni. So now I have sheni and sheni. So my mosif lo tuma al tumasu ika. The line of the Mishnah that we're adding tuma on. What are you talking about? We're not adding any tuma on. So the Gemara at this point in time just is seeking a simple pshat in the Mishnah as it is, as the Mishnah is constituted. The Mishnah is not even saying anything. It's not even saying a chiddush. So I'm Rav Yehuda hacha bevlad vlade askinan dehave leishlishi v'kasav shlishi mutar lasos osheni. So the Gemara now introduces what is now, it's not a radically different pshat in the Mishnah. It's just that what we're going to do is we're going to change one factor of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the meat comes into contact with a vlad. Now, vlad just simply means that it's a derivative. It just simply means it's not the source. It's not the source of tumah. The source of tumah is going to be an avatumah. The source of tumah is going to be, and again, all this is going to go be, all this we're going to go over again and again throughout this next week. So a source of tumah is going to be something like a dead sheretz or a nevela, which by definition is dead, or it's going to be a person that is a zav or a zava or a nida or your lettuce, or it's going to be a mace. Parenthetically, just as an interesting note, all the avos atuma, all the sources of tuma, are something which is organic in nature. It's going to be animals, it's going to be person, not all animals, not all people, but it's something which is organic in nature. Anyway, those are avos atuma. Now the transmission, meaning when the avatuma comes into contact, so the avatuma is now going to be metame. It's going to transmit and it's going to make something else tame. Now, what can it make tameh? So, let's put it into four categories in terms of what it can make tameh. What an avatama can make tameh is either going to be adam, kalim, ochlin, mashkin. So, a avatama can make an adam tameh, meaning if a person were to come into contact with an avatama, that person now is tameh. Now, remember, and that transmission, if the person comes into contact with an avatama, that means the person is now a rishon. Also, an avatama can be metameh, a kalim. If the kli comes into contact with an avatama, the kli now also is going to be a rishon. Also, same thing with ochlin, mashkin. Ochlin, food. Mashkin, liquids. Okay, as an important point that we'll make right here, and I'm going to say this a couple more times over the course of this week, we're talking about mashkin in one of two contexts when we talk about tumah tahara. One context of mashkin we're talking about, which is normally what we talk about, is the idea and the concept of machshirin. A food does not become tummy, does not become susceptible to tumah until it comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. And this is what's called machshirin, an entire masechta dedicated to this topic. But there's also another area of mashkin, which just simply means liquids, meaning to say that liquids is going to be a conductor of tumah. It's going to be able to receive tumah, and it's able to transmit tumah to something else. So in the context of our discussion over here, when we're talking about mashke, we just simply mean liquids as it is able to receive tumah. So if I have an avatum and it comes into contact with a mashkin, the mashkin now is going to become a rishon latuma. And needless to say, when it comes to mashkin, mashkin itself doesn't need mashkin to be mukhshel lekabel tuma. It's kind of self-evident, but we'll say it, and actually at the end of today's daf, we're going to say it again. With all that stated, so now the Gemara is saying like this, when we're talking about the vlad, so vlad just simply means it's a derivative, meaning that it became tummy from the av. Now, at what stage is it in the vlad? The word vlad is just simply a nondescript way of describing something which is not the source of tumah, but just simply a derivative of the tumah. So in our Mishnah, what the vlad could simply be referring to is going to be not a rishon l'tumah, but a shein l'tumah. It just simply means anything other than the avatumah. So over here, what happened is that the meat came into contact with meat, which came into contact with the avatumah, which means that the meat under discussion now is a shlishi. The kasavar, so the havali shlishi, we're back in the Gemara, the kasavar shlishi mutar lasos osheni, and now when the shlishi is being burnt with a rishon, so now you understand, now we have a chiddush on our hands. because obviously when the Rishon touches the Shlishi, it's going to upgrade the Tumah to from being a Shlishi to being a Sheni. Okay. And that's the point of the Mishnah, is that despite the fact that we are increasing Tumah on a carbon, nevertheless, it's okay. And again, in the context, it's fine because the Rishon is going to be burnt and the Shlishi is going to be burnt, and we're burning everything anyway, and everything anyway is Tameh anyway. And so therefore, if all you're doing is just simply adding Tumah to something which is already Tameh, and on top of that, we're already burning it, so under those circumstances, it's fine. The Gemara asks now another technical question in the world of Tumah Tahara, v'ha in ochel metame ochel. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, I thought that in the world of Tumah Tahara, so food cannot transmit Tumah to food. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain to Tanya, we have the following brisa, yachol yehei ochel metame ochel. Look, the havamina would be that food can transmit Tumah to food. Tamalomer v'chi yitein mayim al zera v'nafal menivlasam alav. If water comes into contact with the seed over here is a reference to the food. The water over here is serving as a machshir. So now the food came into contact with the liquid, which means now that it's mukshel kabel tumah, which means that it's eligible, it is susceptible to tumah. And then nafal menivla samalav, and then a sheretz falls on the food. So tamehu. So now the food is going to be tameh. Tamehu. Hu tameh. Ve'in ose kayotze bo tameh. Now that means to say that it is tameh, but it cannot transmit tameh, tumah, to something of its nature, meaning food cannot be metame food. That is a drasha. Now, within the drasha, as we're going to see now, there are various interpretations of how to apply the drasha. So Abaye says that this drasha is only limited to non-consecrated foods. But according to Abaye, if we're talking about truma and if we're talking about kachim, so then food can be metame food. If that's true, obviously in our Mishnah, we are talking about kachim, so therefore there's no problem whatsoever. There is no limitation by kachim that food is not going to be metame food. Just the opposite, food is going to be metame food. Ula Rava Adabava Mishmeda Rava Nami. Now, what is Shita's Rava? So as we're going to see now, there are two opinions of what Shita's Rava is. According to Rav Adabava, so he says in the name of Rava, Damar lo shanu ala chulin v'truma, the drasha of food not being able to be metame food, that's chulin, and that's truma. Ava bekachim, but when it comes to kachim, ose kayotze behem. So then food can be metame food. So over here now, according to this viewpoint, we're still in the clear. Because again, Amish is talking about kachim, and food is metame food, and so no problem whatsoever. Shapir, everything's good. Ella Ravina Mishmei de Rava, but according to Ravina's understanding of Rava, which is the Amar Mikra Male Diber Akasov, that when the Torah says that food's not metame food, that is an absolute. There is no differentiation between what types of food we're talking about, whether we're talking about chulin or truma or kachim. So we're going to say that ein ochle metame ochle, the food is not metame another food. So loshna chulin, loshna truma, loshna kachim, it simply doesn't make any difference. So eina ose kayotze bo. So it's not going to, a food cannot be metame another food. So my ika lamemar. Now, if that's true, so then we're kind of stuck. Meaning our Mishnah says that when the Shlishi and the Rishon are being burned together, so despite the fact that the Shlishi now is going to become a Sheni, so then that would still be okay. According to this last understanding of the Drasha, of Ein Ochel Metame Ochel, this is Ravina's version of Rava. Presumably, by the way, it's an earlier Ravina, not the later Ravina. But anyway, according to Ravina's version of Rava, so Ein Ochel Metame Ochel is even by Kachem, which means now that when the Shlishi Kachem and the Rishon Kachem are touching one another, there's not going to be any transmission of Tumah whatsoever. If there's no transmission of Tumah whatsoever, so once again, what's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah says, despite the fact that you're being Mosif Tumah al Tumah, so you're adding Tumah. According to what we just learned right now, according to Ravina, in Bishem Rava, you're not adding any Tumah. That's a problem. So, Hachabah Maizkin and De'ika Mashkin Bahadeh Basar. So the Gemara now attempts to suggest that, well, maybe it's not just meat and meat, but it's meat also with some sauce, with some liquid. And so the Tumah is being conducted not because of the food, meaning Ein Ochel Metame Ochel, but Mashke could be Metame Ochel. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that it's the Tumah is being transmitted because of the Mashke that's together with the Ochel. Ihachi. So hi imabasar shenit mabava Tumah imabasar umashkin. So then, Iker Chasam and a Sefer. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then the Mishnah is missing the most important point, which is it's not the Basar which is Matama, the other Basar, but it's the Mashkim on the Basar, which is Tame the other Basar. And it's really difficult pshat in the Mishnah when it's really the Mashke that's providing the Tumah, and the Mishnah doesn't make mention of the Mashkin. Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to suggest. Nihi de'in ochel metame ochel, midaraisa midarabana miyum metame. So the Gemara says that, look, even according to this last viewpoint of Rava, Ravina b'shem Rava, that ein ochel metame ochel, and that is true for all types of ochlin, whether it be chulin or truma or kachim, nevertheless, on a derabana level, there will be transmission of tuma. And as we're going to be seeing over this next week, so as far as tuma tahara, part of the complexity of Tumah Tahara is that in addition to knowing the system of law regarding Tumah Tahara, how it operates on a Deraisa level, on top of that also there was a number of rabbinic legislations that were inserted into the world of Tumah Tahara, and so therefore we have to follow both the Deraisa and the Derabanan. And so what the Gemara is saying here is that even if on a Deraisa level, ain ochel metame ochel, but midrabanan, so the Chachamim inserted a Gzera Derabanan or a takana derabanan in terms of ochel being metame another ochel. So at least mid derabanan, you have now augmented the tumah going from a shlishi up to a sheni. Okay, adkan, that takes us now at least four through the first statement of our Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim says that you're going to be burning together basar and basar, and the question is what kind of osafa tumah are we talking about? And the answer is that the busters that we're burning together, one's the Rishon, the other's the Shlishi, and then when the Rishon touches the Shlishi now becomes a Sheni, and although, according to one opinion, Ein Ochel Metame Ochel, but on a rabbinic level, so there will be an increase in Tumah. Okay, that is all, but the explanation Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, continuing in the Gemara, Yudal Emet Aleph, at the two dots, Osef Rabbi Kiva Miyamin Shol Kohanim Lo Nimnu Milahadlik V'chulei, Michti, the Gemara says, let's consider now what's being stated over here regarding the case of Rabbi Akiva. Shemeshin Nifza B'Tvul Yom Mai Havi Shlishi. So, the lantern that was touched by the Tvul Yom is in fact going to be a Shlishi, as we already said in the Mishnah. V'chi Malak Le B'Nir Shinit Mabitame Meis. Now, The oil that was touched by the Tvul Yom is going to be a Shlishi. V'chi Malak Le B'Nir Shinit Mabitame Meis Mai Havi Sheni. Now, when it goes into the lantern was touched by a tamei mace. A tamei mace is somebody who himself touched a mace. The mace is an avi avosatuma. The person who touched the mace is an avatuma. That person now touches a lantern. That lantern now is going to be a rishon latuma. So now what happens when the oil goes into the lantern? So now the oil goes from being a shlishi, because it was touched by a tvul yom, and now it's going to become a sheni. So havi sheni, so my kamashtuan shlishi, so the Gemara says, okay, that's great, but the truth of the matter is, now Rabbi Kiva is just simply repeating what Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim said. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, as we now come to understand it after the after a little bit of back and forth in the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim says that a meat that is a shlishi can be upgraded to a sheni, could be elevated to a sheni when everything's being burnt together, and that's no problem. And so over here, we're talking now about the oil going from being a shlishi to a sheni. That's effectively the same point. And so why would it be that Rabbi Kiva is seemingly in our Mishnah adding a new dimension when the truth of the matter is he's not adding any dimension whatsoever? In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, when Rabbi Kiva makes his statement, he says, host of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva adds. It sounds like Rabbi Kiva now is going to be making even a bigger chiddush. And at this point in time, it doesn't sound like it's much of a bigger chiddush. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda hach b'ner shamatechas askinan derachmana amar b'chalal cherev. Cherev harei hu kechalal. The havile avatuma. The kasav shlishi mutal asosa rishon. The Gemara says like this. Another rule that we're going to be seeing a couple of times. And the Gemara over here introduces us to this idea that when it comes to a metal utensil, is going to be a superconductor of Tumah. As we've already discussed and established, that when Tumah transmits from one item to another, so it drops down a level. However, when it comes to metal, it's interesting that metal operates this way in terms of electricity, as being a fantastic conductor of electricity. So metal, in terms of Tumah Tahara, so metal serves as a phenomenal conductor of Tumah, so that when the metal comes into contact with Tumah, but not any Tumah, only Tumah's mace, as is clear here in our Gemara, so under those circumstances now, it's going to maintain the same level. So when I have the person who's a tummy mace, well, it's interesting. The metal over here didn't come into contact with the mace himself. The metal came into contact with somebody who came into contact with mace, but still, that's Tumas mace. And so when this lantern now comes into contact with this person who's a tummy mace, and the lantern under our discussion is a metal lantern, so therefore now the lantern itself is going to be an avatuma, just like the tummy mace himself is going to be an avatuma. Now when you're pouring the oil in that lamp, that oil was touched by Tvul Yom. That oil is a shlishi. But now when it goes into the lantern, that oil is now going to go from a shlishi to a rishon. Okay, so that's two jumps. And that is now a chiddush. That's a hosaf over Rabbi Chanina's Kanakohanim. Rabbi Chanina's Kanakohanim, in this case, allowed for one jump from a shlishi to go up to a sheni by being burnt together with a rishon. Now, in our understanding of Rabbi Akiva, so the oil is going to go up two jumps. It's going to go from being a shlishi to being a rishon, because now it is going to go into a lantern, which it itself is an avatuma. Okay, much discussion to be had regarding this idea that that a metal is going to be a conductor of tumas mace, in that it maintains the same level. But for our purposes right now, let's just continue in the Gemara. V'katsavar shlishi mutar la'asos rishon. So good. So that's the added chiddush of Rabbi Kiva over that of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. Umay dochid the Rabbi Yehuda lo'ukme b'ner shamateches. So the Gemara says, you know, it's a bit of a dochak. Whenever we talk about a lantern, in Shabbos we saw this often, whenever we talked about a lantern, so lanterns were typically made out of earthenware. Yes, some of them are made out of metal, but typically they're made out of earthenware. To explain that our Mishnah is talking about a metal lantern is a bit of a dochik, and the Gemara wonders, why do we have to go there? Nukmi b'ner shel cheres. Why don't we go with a standard ner, a standard lantern that's made out of earthenware, umay hosif, and now let's explain the hosafa. Meaning we have to address the original question, which is Rabbi Akiva is adding on to Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. If we're talking about a standard earthenware lantern, so we're back to square one. That means that the Tamei Meis who touched the earthenware lantern is the Rishon, and now you're taking the oil which was touched by a Psul Yom, by a Tvul Yom, and now you're making the Shlishi Yesheni, which is effectively the same as the first case of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. And what is Rabbi Kiva adding to the discussion? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what he added to the discussion. Because when it comes to kachim being burnt together, so what is the Rishon? Rishon is Tamei. What's the Shlishi? The Shlishi is also Tamei. Now what we mean by that is as follows. Well, first let me read on the Gemara and then we'll go back and explain. But over here, Psul Utamei. But over here we're talking about Psul Utamei. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following. I'll tell you the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that when we have the meats being burnt together, so I have a Rishon and I have a Shlishi being burnt together. Now, when it comes to Kachim, as we already went over, Kachim can go to becoming a Revi. Now, in terms of Tumat Tahara, a meat which is a Rishon now is considered Tame, meaning not only is it itself Tame, but it could be Matame something else. Now, that's true when it comes to Kachim, which is a Rishon, as is true with the Sheni, as is true with the Shlishi as well. Since there is another level that it can go, since there is a transmission of Tumah that can be accomplished, so therefore, the Rishon and the Shlishi are being both Tameh. So when you're taking the Shlishi and moving it up to a Sheni, okay, it is true that you're raising it a level, but when all said and done, it went from Tameh to being Tameh. Okay, when Rabbi Kiva's case over here, we're talking about Truma, and Rashi spends some time over here describing how we're so confident and we know that it's Truma. If you actually look back in the Mishnah, it doesn't use the word Truma, but let's assume that we're talking about Truma over here. So since we're talking about Truma, so what is the Truma that was touched by a Tvul Yom? So it's Tameh, but more accurately, it's Pasul. It's Pasul in that it's Tameh, but it cannot transmit the Tumah because by Truma, that's it. It has hit the end of the road. And so therefore, in Tumah terminology, it's now described as being Pasul. And now what happens is that when I take that Shlishi, that Shlishi Truma, which is called Truma Psula, and now I put it in a lantern, which is a Rishon, meaning let's assume now that the lantern's a Rishon, so what happens now is it goes from being a Shlishi to a Sheni. Now, even though that's only one jump up, but still, what we could have argued is that's a qualitatively higher jump. Why? Because now we're changing its status from being Pusul to now being Tame. Now it has the ability to Mitame something else. So therefore, even though it's one jump up, it's still going to be a higher transmission of Tumah than in the case of Basar Kachim. By Basar Kachim, all you're doing is taking something Tameh and just making it a little bit more Tameh. But it was Tameh and now Tameh. Over here, by the Truma, it was possible, and now you're making a tamei. So the Gemara is suggesting now that that's a bigger deal. Amarava masisa kashise. So Rava says, look, it's true you could have explained the Mishnah that way, but go back to the Mishnah and read carefully what the Mishnah says. My area didn't near shenitma b'tamei mace, because the Mishnah says I have the lantern that comes into contact with tumas mace. Nase shenitma b'sheretz. Look, if the whole point of the Mishnah is just to give me an example where the lantern came into contact with an avatuma, why is the Mishnah so specific in terms of giving the example of the lantern coming into contact with the tamei mace? Have a simple case where the lantern comes into contact with the sheretz. And that also is contact with an avatuma, and that also would make the lantern just simply a rishon latuma. The Mishnah could have done that. Ela ezu udaver shechaluka tumasa bein tumas meis l'sheretz. So where do we find this distinction, that there's a distinction between tumas meis and sheretz? Havi omer zemateches, meaning that's metal. Meaning the whole reason why the Mishnah specifically chose the case of tumas meis is because there is a qualitative difference in transmission of tuma between tumas meis and metal. So it really leads us to the conclusion that the lantern under discussion is actually a metal lantern. Good. So, one last point that the Gemara would like to conclude over here is within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rava now is going to make an observation within Shitas Rabbi Akiva, which is Tumas Mashkin Letame Acherim Da Araisa. This idea that Tumas Mashkin can go ahead and transmit Tuma and pass Tuma along to others, that operates on a Da Araisa level, as we will be seeing in the course of this week when it comes to transmission of Tuma. So, there will be a major debate in whether or not Mashkin could be a transmitter of Tumah Midda Araisa. Midda Rabbanan, absolutely. But Midda Araisa, can Mashkin be a conductor of Tumah? So it will be subject to a major debate. What Rava would like to conclude, at least over here in our Mishnah, within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, is Rabbi Akiva says that Mashkin is Mitame Acherim, it will transmit Tumah to other items, Min HaTorah, and that operates on a Daraisa level. Because what are you going to suggest? This is only operating under Rabbanan level. Michti. Hai ner maika mahanya lahai shemen. So the Gemara says, because consider now, what did the ner do in terms of advancing Tuma regarding the oil? So il absolutin gufei ha-pasavakai. So the Gemara says, what? It's going to disqualify the oil? The oil already is disqualified. Remember, the oil already came into contact with the tefil yom. So the oil now is disqualified. So therefore, the whole point of Rabbi Akiva is that when I take this oil that came into contact with the tefil yom, which is already disqualified, and I put it now in the lantern, raising its tuma now from being a shlishi to a sheni, or in our modified understanding of our Mishnah, bringing it up to a rishon, what's the point of all that? So presumably the point of all that is so that if in the event this oil now comes into contact with a food, it's going to transmit the tuma to a food, meaning that the mashke is going to be metame, and that tuma operates on a deraisa level. So the Gemara says, "Mimai demal metame acherim midrabbanan." The Gemara says, "Look, I'm certainly with you that the oil now is going to transmit the tuma, but how do I know that it operates on a deraisa level? Maybe it operates only on a derabbanan level." The Gemara says, "Ima derabbanan my irya bava tuma." So the Gemara says, "No, if the whole point of the Mishnah is that the transmission of Tumah is going to be on a Derabbanan level, so then consider the example that was given the Mishnah. The example of the Mishnah was, it comes into contact with a lantern that came into contact with an Avatumah. Afilu Berishon, Visheni Nami, Tchila Havai. Because if we're operating on a Derabbanan level, here are the rules when it comes to Mashkin on a Derabbanan level. And that is that when Mashka comes into contact with not only an Av, but even a Rishon, and even a Sheni, and again, under normal rules of Tuma, meaning Midda Araisa, whenever there is a transmission of Tuma from one item to the next item, it always drops down a level. A Ava Tuma coming into contact with an item, the item becomes a Rishon. A Rishon coming into contact with another item becomes a Sheni, etc., etc. However, when it comes to Mashkin, Midda Rabbanan, so what's going to happen is that the Mashkin is always going to become Tame when it comes into contact with an Av, or when it comes into contact with a Rishon, or when it comes into contact with a Sheni. Furthermore, the Mashka, the liquid that comes into contact with either an Av, or a Rishon, or a Sheni, is going to go and become a Rishon. Now, if it comes into contact with an Av, so that's not a Chiddush, that's what happens. An Av is going to make the Mashka a Rishon. But the Chiddush is going to be is that when the Mashka comes into contact with either a Rishon, or a sheni, the mashke is going to become a rishon. And what the Gemara now is bothered by is that if our oil under discussion over here, if we're only discussing a transmission of tumma midrabanan, so then the lantern doesn't have to come into contact with the tamei mace. The lantern doesn't have to be metal. The lantern doesn't have to be an avatumma. Even if the lantern was a rishon, even if the lantern was a sheni, and it comes into contact with a liquid midrabanan, that liquid is going to become a rishon. So if we're operating on a derabana level, there doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what level tumma the lantern is going to be on, whether it's an ab, whether it's a rishon, or even if it's a sheni. The whole reason why we deliberately selected the example of the lantern coming into contact with an avatumma, meaning and the lantern itself is an avatumma, is to highlight that the oil now is going to be going from a shlishi up to a rishon, and that min ha-torah, it's going to be metame others. Did not. And here the Gemara just simply cites the Mishnah in Parah, kol aposel asa truma, anything that disqualifies truma, anything disqualifying truma is going to be a sheni, mitame mashkin lios tchila. So when that sheni comes into contact with the liquid is going to be a tchila, it's going to be a rishon. Chutz mi tvul yom, with notable exception to tvul yom. By a tvul yom, if the tvul yom comes into contact with a mashka, the mashka is not going to be a rishon. Rashi over here goes through why exactly that is. I'm going to come back to the Rashi in just a moment. But anyway, that's the whole point now. The elish maminam da'araisahi. So again, if the Mishnah over here was just operating on a derabbanan level, so then we wouldn't need our lantern to be coming into contact with the tamei mace. We wouldn't need the lantern to be made out of metal. We wouldn't need the lantern to be an avatama, because even if the lantern was a rishon, and even if the lantern was a sheni, which on another occasion I'll explain why that's nearly impossible. But even if the lantern, was a rishon, so under those circumstances, the liquid that comes into contact with it, midrabanan, would be a rishon, and that's not a chiddush. So it must be that the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva is that the lantern is an avatama, and the oil that it comes into contact with, the oil that you put into it, which was a shlishi, now is going to become a rishon. And the point is that now that oil can be metama others, even on a deraisa level. So the Gemara seemingly has concluded that according to Rava, a mashke is going to be able to be metame others on a deraisa level. Okay. This gzera derabanan that we just learned, the Mishnah Parah, that when you have a shein l'tum and it comes into contact with mashke, the mashke jumps up to being a rishon, so that obviously needs clarification. Why should that be? Rashi writes over here, kol apostos rachuma kol hani demaisina and beper gitzios ha-shabbos, ga mishmona asa davr shegazer oleim, torah shniim, lifsol es ha-truma mitame mashken, afilu chun lios tchila, chutz mitzvul yom sheposol ha-truma min ha-torah. Ugzeres ha-kasavhi. The mikomakom, ikleshe tuma didei, velo gazru bei lasos mashken tchila, de ein debre torah tzrichin chizok. So Rashi goes on to explain that when it comes to the tefil yom coming into contact with a liquid, the Chachamim did not feel the need over there in that case to give that liquid an upgraded status of tumma. Why? Because that's a din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is that when you have a tefil yom coming into contact with the mashka now is going to become tumay. And in the case of truma, it's going to become pasul. So the Chachamim didn't feel the need. Umishum de mashkim alulim lekabel tumma. Umahi alila samshe mekablim tuma. Now, in general, Rashi goes on to explain, but when it comes to all other circumstances of transmission of tuma, when I have something which is a sheni coming into contact with a liquid, that liquid is immediately going to get ramped up to being a rishon. Why should that be? So Rashi over here talks about the idea that liquid is just much more sensitive, much more susceptible to tuma. What is its super susceptibility to tuma? Rashi says, shelo behechsher. Because when it comes to mashkin, it can receive tuma, and it doesn't need the prerequisite heksher b'mashkin. It doesn't need to come into contact with a liquid to become ready to become susceptible to tuma. As opposed to food, in order for it to become susceptible to tuma, food at its inception is impervious to tuma. And its susceptibility to tuma only comes about when it comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. That's not true with actual liquid itself. Liquid doesn't need to come into contact with any one of the liquids, and so therefore explains Rashi, so since it is already highly sensitive to tuma, so therefore the Chachamim goes there that whenever you are metame liquid, so therefore they're going to give it the status of it being a rishon. So gazra lehem chomer harbei shiyu kohanim nizarim l'shomra. So that now with this very imposing chomra, that every time liquid becomes tame, it immediately is going to jump up to a Rishon, so the Kohanim are going to take extra care and extra caution in terms of handling liquids. And that's Rashi's explanation over here in terms of why the Chachamim were gozer, that every time a liquid is come into contact with a vlad, either a Rishon or a Sheni, the liquid's going to become a Rishon, with notable exception of a Tul Yom coming into contact with liquid, because that's a Din D'Oraitha, and the Chachamim didn't need to fortify that particular case. This is going to be our stopping point. We're going to quickly recap today's daf, our first daf in the world of Tumat Tahara. And Baruch Hashem, we have six more to go. Let's go. We first discussed over here in our Mishnah two ideas about Hosafas Tumah, where I'm going to be adding Tumah onto something that already is Tameh. The first case, Rabbi Chanina is going to go on, and where I'm taking, and I'm just going to give the finished version of the cases of the Mishnah. I'm going to be taking a kachim that is a shlishi, and I'm burning it together, which obviously is puzzle, and I'm burning it together with kachim, which is a Rishon, and because I'm burning them together, that means that the Rishon is going to be touching the Shlishi. That means that the Shlishi is going to be upgraded now to being a Sheni. And Rabbi Chanina is going to come and says, "Look, you're going to be burning everything anyway, and so therefore, it's fine. There's no problem with the Hosafas Tumah under this particular circumstance." Rabbi Akiva says, "I'll do you one better." Rabbi Akiva says that we're going to be taking a lantern that was touched by Tamei Mace, which means that the lantern itself is now, originally we thought it was a Rishon L'Tumah, but as we went through the Gemara, we now know that the lantern is metal, and therefore when the lantern is an Avatumah, the Tamei Mace who touched it himself is an Avatumah, touching the metal lantern is still an Avatumah. And now you take oil that came into contact with a Tful Yom, that oil is Pasol, it's a Shlishi, and you take that oil and you put it in the lantern in order to burn the oil, and under those circumstances, now the oil is going to jump up from being a shlishi to being a rishon, so that's two jumps up, and that's even a bigger chiddush. That's how the Gemara explains the case of Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, and the case of Rabbi Kiva, and that really takes us through the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, so there are really two discussions. Actually, let's bring it down, reduce it even to one discussion. Right, the first part of the Amud Beis is just a conclusion of the case of Rabbi Akiva and why specifically they set up the case where the where the lantern is made up of metal. Why not say that the lantern is made up of cheres? But the Gemara says it fits in better with the language of the Mishnah. And then finally, last part of the daf today is Rava's commentary within Rabbi Akiva, in that Mashkin, whether or not it can be metame others. So this is going to be, as we pointed out, a machlokus that we're going to see throughout the course of the sugya, but nevertheless, at least we can pin Rabbi Kiva down to say that he is of the opinion that mashke is metame midda oraisa, that the transmission of tumah from a liquid to another food is going to operate on a doraisa level. And how do I know that? Because Rabbi Kiva is very specific about the example that he gave, where I'm taking the oil and I'm putting in the lantern, and the oil is now going to be going from a shlishi up to a rishon. What's the point? In other words, the oil already is tummy, it's already pasul. So what's the point? So the point must be that as a shlishi, they obviously can't transmit only because it's at that last level of being a shlishi. But now that I moved it up to a rishon, the point now is that it can transmit tumah and it must be operating on deraisa level. The Gemara tried to push back. The Gemara says, well, why can't we just simply say that's being metame on a derabanan level? But the Gemara says no, because if we're talking about tumah derabanan, so let's not forget that Mishnah in Para, where the Mishnah Parah says that when you have liquid coming into contact with either a Rishon or even a Sheni, so that liquid's going to become a Rishon. So on a Durabban level, so the liquid anyway is going to become a Rishon that we knew already. The idea over here that the metal Kli is going to be making the Pusel Truma, now a Rishon obviously has to be operating on a Oraisa level. So the Gemara successfully concluded that according to Rabbi Kiva, the Mashke is Metame Mid Oraisa.